This season of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is proudly supported by My Music Staff.
Part of me enjoys the teaching, but part of me wants to do something else in addition to that. So I'm not always just teaching. I would love to have another business that I do alongside of teaching and reduce my teaching a little bit. I think that I would be happier doing several things and doing more business-related things.
Welcome to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the place where teachers from around the world meet to share innovative ideas about music education. Listen and learn as we help you motivate your students, grow your income, expand your studio, and become a more creative piano teacher.
Good everyone, it's Tim Topham here, and I am welcoming you back to the final episode of Season 2, 2018 of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully, you've been checking in on the whole season. This is our eighth episode of Season 2, 2018, and we're going to finish with a bit of a bang. This is one hell of an episode. It's really different to some of the other ones. It's taken a lot more editing, but it's been a heap of fun. I'm going to tell you exactly what's involved and what we're talking about in just a moment. But look, I did want to welcome all my Inner Circle community members to today's podcast and remind you that you're listening to episode number 132. So if you'd like a transcript or show notes, all you need to do is head to a browser and type in timtopham.com/episode132, and that'll take you straight through to all the links that we've been talking about today. Whether you are a new listener or someone who's been listening for some time, thank you very much for choosing to spend time again with me. I'm certainly committed to helping you be the best teacher that you could possibly be and grow the studio that suits you and your lifestyle and supports your students in the best way possible. Today's podcast is a little bit different, as I mentioned, as I'm going to be sharing with you a live coaching call that I gave to one of my members who has also been a guest on the podcast in season one. She was talking about five simple tips to improve your piano studio website, and it relates directly to what we're going to be talking about today. I've been finding in the last 6 months to a year, a number of members have been asking more and more about ways that they could potentially diversify their income outside piano teaching, and often looking at things like offering online courses or paid webinars or even products online. And I'm only too happy to help other people with these kinds of approaches because I think it's great if full-time teaching is something that you do find exhausting and tiring, and I think we all would probably agree to that, and you've got a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit, as my guest today does, then this is definitely something that you can consider doing. My guest today owns Hello Piano Studio. It's a group piano studio in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. She has 20 years piano teaching experience and has recently branched out and launched Studio Rocket Web Design, a web design service for music studios. And this is her, what was a side hustle, now an important part of her business. So the guest, of course, is Jenna Carlson. And if you haven't listened to her on season one, then please go back and check it out. It's a great episode if you want a few quick, simple tips to massively improve the conversion and interest of parents in your website. Jenna came to me as she had reached a stage in her career that she wanted to do something different to the teaching that she was doing, and preferably something online that could afford some leverage and maybe give us some passive income. In the Inner Circle, we call this pivoting, and it's something that I love supporting other teachers to do. In fact, we've actually built a whole stage of our studio growth roadmap around the process of coming up with a new business idea, building and testing the concept, and then marketing and selling it to customers. It's exactly the process I took when I launched my first piano teacher training course at the end of 2014. I was a full-time teacher and I was gathering a bit of an audience online from my blog, and I knew that many, many teachers needed help with teaching pop piano. So I created a course called PianoFlix, recorded it during one 2 week holiday break in September of 2014. I remember it distinctly, sitting there and editing everything, doing it all myself. And I ended up selling it at the end of 2014, and it did really, really well. It continues to be in my top three courses in the Inner Circle. It's called PianoFlix Teaching Pop Piano. So back to Jenna though. As I mentioned, Jenna was actually on the podcast last season talking about improving your studio website, and she mentioned her business name, Studio Rocket Web Design. So this podcast is the story of what she did in the early stages to launch her new business and the suggestions that I and others gave her along the way. To get started, let's listen to Jenna as she sets the context for the coaching.
Now, why I feel so restless, you know, after 20 plus years of teaching, I'm like, you know, I love teaching to an extent, but I am tired. I'm still tired, even having moved to group lessons. And part of me enjoys the teaching, but part of me wants to do something else in addition to that. So I'm not always just teaching.
Whoa, hold up. Did she just say she didn't like teaching?
Part of me enjoys the teaching, but part of me wants to do something else in addition to that. So I'm not always just teaching. I would love to have another business that I do alongside of teaching and reduce my teaching a little bit. I think that I would be happier doing several things and doing more, more business related things.
So the interesting words that Jenna used was not that she didn't like teaching, but she was just tired of teaching and a little restless and felt she'd be happier with doing a mix of things, or in her words, in addition to teaching. And I actually think this is a really healthy way to approach running a studio. We're not all cut out to teach 40 hours or more a week. And I want to applaud Jenna for being honest and saying this. It's okay to say that you'd like to do things in addition to your teaching and maybe even cut your teaching down. So let's listen as Jenna gives us a little bit more background to her situation.
You know, interestingly enough, this whole thing has come about over a kind of a journey of the past year, you know, since sort of becoming dissatisfied with the way I was doing things and moving toward group lessons. But then once I got into group lessons, I was like, well, what else is going on? Something else is going on. So I don't think I'm as right brained as I always thought that I was. I just assumed that I'm super creative. I'm really right brained. And I don't think well with a lot of like structure and rules. Well, as it turns out, I'm like my personality type. You look it up online and it says you should be a CEO. And I'm thinking, so this is why I actually love the business side of what I do. This is why I geek out over the admin stuff. Who does that?
Like Jenna, I've always enjoyed the business and marketing side of things as well. While I consider myself creative, or what Jenna referred to as right brain, I love facts, figures, logic, and numbers. And people would consider that kind of left brain. And it turns out to be a great mix. And I personally love the fact that I've been able to build a business helping other teachers. And I am 100% happier now than I ever was just teaching students all day and working in schools. And the biggest plus side, of course, is that I'm able to have a much bigger impact on the world now that I'm doing what I probably should always have been doing. So to all the teachers listening, don't ever feel embarrassed or awkward about saying that while you like teaching, you have other aspirations or would love to spend your time on other things. It's totally okay. In fact, it's okay to say that you don't like teaching, but please, if that is the case, and for the sake of your students, it's time to find out what you really should be doing instead. Please don't teach if you don't like teaching at all. What I'm talking about is teachers who think, oh, well, maybe I could do some other things and actually that might make me happier. It's also okay to say that you're keen to build a business that will make money. Many educators have a fear about making money or being seen to be making money because there's a feeling inside us that we should be some kind of community service. And it's crippling our ability to create sustainable lives for ourselves. Just in the last week or two before recording this, there was two separate Facebook threads with teachers asking, is making a living from piano truly sustainable? And of course, the answer, and I'm only happy to share it and tag other people in who I know have done it, is a resounding yes. But we have to look at it as a business and not a community service. So put simply, I want you to be your best self and I want the best for your students. And if that means, like Jenna, you feel you'd be happier reducing your teaching hours and exploring other options, then just do it. Barriers to entry of expanding and diversifying what you're already doing have never been lower. This is the kind of mindset that we all need if we're looking to pivot in our teaching businesses. And it's the kind of mindset that has seen Jenna launch her new business with great success. If you'd like some ideas about what else you could be doing, make sure you check out the Studio Growth Roadmap in my members area. The pivot section has been built just to support people like you. I'll give you more information about the roadmap later in the podcast. Before we listen in on the rest of the coaching call, I wanted to note a few things about the whole process that Jenna has gone through in launching Studio Rocket Web Design. Firstly, I was only one of many people that Jana spoke to about her idea. Jana was also happy to commit money to formal coaching with other business mentors. She took courses, she did lots of reading, she listened, she asked lots of questions and made lots of connections. This is crucial if you're going to have success today because the landscape is changing fast. While I finished my MBA way back in 2005, 13 years later, the marketing and advertising modules of that course would have been rewritten. If you're going to succeed in any kind of business today, you need to keep abreast of online marketing, and it's changing all the time. I learned everything I know about running my blog, podcast, and online business through reading blogs, listening to podcasts, and trial and error. It's a full circle, isn't it? If you're interested in the kinds of podcasts that I listen to in learning about all of what I've done, I've dedicated a whole step to that in the pivot stage of the roadmap. Those of you interested in online marketing, stay tuned for our free webinar and a course about Facebook advertising, which we'll be releasing in July 2018. Okay, so here's the rest of the interview.
The resources you're starting to put out there are perfect timing for me. I hope it's helpful for others as well. But I feel like there are probably more than just me. There are probably a few of us who are like, okay, what is next? And what if I don't want to teach 70 kids, you know?
Right. And we should all realize that it's okay to say that, you know what, I like teaching, but I don't want to do it 50 hours a week. I think there might even be, you know, a concern out there that you can't say that. A little bit like saying, I actually want to make some money from my piano teaching. Whoa.
Right.
So, it's great that you've come to this point and admitted it and you're comfortable with it. I think that's great. Well, you know, let's get you in doing what you should be doing.
Yeah. Great. Well, you're an inspiration.
Oh, brilliant. Happy to help as much as I can.
I love it. You have like two students, like five students, something like that.
Yeah, I got about six. Yeah, and, okay. And you know, I guess I'm in the same boat. I love teaching, but I don't want to be doing it full time because I have bigger vision of what I could achieve and what the things I can help people with. And it sounds very similar to where you are at.
Yeah. So, my biggest question for you, should we just jump into that? Also want to tell you about our pricing model and get your feedback on that. What should we do first?
Just remind me where you're at. So you've got the idea was to start an online service creating websites for piano teachers.
Right. Music teachers.
Music teachers. Okay, yeah, great. So not specific, which is, I think, a good thing. The last kind of conversation we had, you were working out, one, whether you could validate it and how you might go about doing that. Two, how you're going to price it to make it affordable and achievable. And I'm interested as well because I sent you some information about marketing, the questions about marketing that piano teachers keep asking me and whether that could fit in maybe down the track or even now to your business. Let's just run through where you're at now.
Yeah. So we're going to start small and simple because we want to be able to do what we do well rather than try to be more broad and then, you know, risk doing a kind of partway job.
We say that very commonly over here, so don't worry.
Okay, good. That's good to know. So half-assing, you know, four things rather than doing, you know, one or two things really well. So right now we want to start with really simple websites. My husband is learning Squarespace as we're speaking right now. He's building my website and his hyper-focus is coming into play and it's really helpful. He's going to build awesome websites. So he's building my website. He's going to build our Studio Rocket web design website. And then we've got a beta test client who's a good friend and colleague of mine here in town. Great. She and her sister have a joint studio. We're going to build that. We want to build websites that have between 4 and 6 pages. Pretty straightforward. We want gorgeous pictures. We want to help teachers understand how to get really great pictures for their websites. I've written a content guide to help teachers write their web content because that's a very daunting process.
Right.
So I've got a, you know, several page Google document for them to go in and fill in. I ask very specific questions about each topic and then they can choose which pages they want included. We're not embedding videos. We're not doing like you're not gonna be able to pay tuition on your website yet. We're not gonna have a back end for like current students to log in yet.
Right.
That stuff will come later.
Yep.
we might offer more custom options down the road, but right now it's going to be a simple website that just really makes you shine in your community. And we're working from three templates. You'll have three templates to choose from. One will be very sort of photo centered, very, very heavy on photos. One will not. So it'll be a little bit more forgiving if you don't have photos that you absolutely love.
Yep.
And then the third one is kind of a combination of the two, and we'll let teachers choose. We are planning to do the initial build for $700.
Mm-hmm.
And then $40 a month for maintenance, refreshing, updating, and that will also include the hosting, which is $150 a year on Squarespace.
Right.
So here's my thinking on that. Your initial reaction about our first price points was very helpful to hear. They're never going to pay that. I did a lot more research.
Yeah. Don't go by me. That's only, so it's, I'm glad you've said you've gone and asked other people. Good.
No, it was helpful. I've told you before, one of the things I like the most about your business model is your price point. You've really nailed it. And so I went back to thinking and researching, okay, what are other people charging? And, you know, if you go to a small web design business, they're going to charge you, you know, starting at $2,000 for a website, but then you can go hire your guy that you've got, for, you know, $30 an hour or whatever, or $15 an hour, or something like that. You can find, sort of low end, like affordable web design services that are pretty cheap, and their websites are hideous. You can do that kind of thing for similar to what we are doing.
Right.
So it's right around our price point. If you go and just hire a web service online to build your website and then host it for you, it's like, you know, $700 or $800 to build it, and then like $40 or $50 a month to maintain it.
Right. Okay.
So my thinking is, we started talking about subscription services and how common they are these days. Things are just moving toward a subscription model, I think.
So love it or hate it. It's true. Yeah. And I run my business. Not only do I run a subscription model, but I have so many subscriptions in order to run my business too. You're right.
It's right.
How the world is going now.
Right, exactly. And it was interesting because when I ran the numbers, had we used like the $1,200 build that I told you about kind of as our entry level build, our business would have done better the first year, but it would have grown very, very slowly in future years and never really been more than a side hustle.
Right.
But if we do this model, we can actually grow it into something that's really sustainable. And I'm sure you know what that's like as you ramp up your clients and gradually that income builds. And because it doesn't take very long to maintain or update a website on a monthly basis, you know, we can still accomplish that even with a lot of clients. We can still accomplish that in, you know, 20 hours or less a week.
Right.
So it seems more sustainable. So that's what I'm thinking. What is your feedback?
Well, I like that you've gone for a similar price point to what you could get if you went down the path of hiring a developer yourself. But you're offering so much more than that because, one, you're all about music teachers. You know how it works. You know what is going to sell music studios. So that's a huge bonus. Bonus number two, I love the idea of your content guide. Absolutely brilliant. And maybe, I mean, you could even in that link to other sources online, and there's probably, rather than reinvent the wheel too, you might find a great resource that you can refer people to a blog article on the SEO side of things or some image ideas and things like that. So, you know, don't feel you've got to create. Maybe you could link out to some other things as well in that document. I think that's a great bonus. Helping people with pictures and finding good ones, particularly free ones for piano teachers too, can be great. And how not to get into any copyright issues there. I think that's good. The model of 4 to 6 pages, $700 plus the monthly, I think is good. With the monthly amount, as you know, I've been running my service for a year and a half or thereabouts, and I've got to say that pricing is really, really tricky. So I'm glad you've done lots of thinking about it. I wonder whether the $40 a month might bite a little bit hard, whether there's an opportunity to reduce that a little bit. So I don't know whether you could get under the $30 mark. I think you might have more uptake on that. Otherwise, the other issue is that you might get people saying, "Look, I just want the website, but I don't want the continuity. I don't know whether you'd be happy with that. Is that an option?"
No.
No. Okay. Which I think is good. You stand by your guns. So I would. Yeah. But the other issue you've got, of course, is that you're covering hosting in that fee, which I get.
Right. So $40 a month ends up to be, you know, $480 a year. But if you subtract the hosting fee, that's $150. So you're paying, you know, you'd be paying for the Squarespace fee anyway, even if you just paid us to flat out build your site and turn it over to you.
Yeah.
So then it's costing you, in addition to hosting, $330 to have your site constantly maintained and refreshed every year.
Yeah.
So I don't see, I really wrestled with that because I agree with you. I think $40 sounds a little bit high, and I would have loved to price it at like $35 or $30.
Yep.
But I'm having more trouble making the math work once I take out the hosting fee.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Or maybe maybe there's a way to promote that figure in two parts or something, that it's okay. Going to cost you $25 for me to update your site every month, but and $15 is the hosting, just to help people understand that it's not going to you and that they would have to pay that otherwise. Maybe it could be an idea for you.
Yes.
The other question I had was, I wasn't sure if you're creating a platform for teachers to build their websites on, you're creating a space where everyone can build their site on top of, and then you sort out everything for them, or are you kind of building and then handing them the keys so they can go in and do things as well as you?
Right. So what we were going to do when I was charging the $1,200 flat fee for a basic website is hand the keys over to them, and they pay the Squarespace fee right off the bat. So they pay us to build the site on Squarespace. Then we turn it over to them. They go in and do any edits and maintenance they want to, you know, down the road when they want to update their information or whatever. That's all theirs. And they pay that annual Squarespace fee. So we basically build it, you know, we do it to their specifications, we have revisions, all that. When they're happy with it, we turn it over to them and we're done. With this model, we are going to build it, but we're not handing the keys over to them. We will continue to maintain it. So if 2 months down the road, a teacher says, "I have a better set of pictures now that I'd like to use on this page," or, "I have photos from my recital that I want in this gallery," they send it to us, we upload them, and that's what they do for that month. Or if they have like some kind of toddler tunes classes that are seasonal, you know, where the times change, and they say, "Okay, you know, spring is coming. I need for my new program information to be on the website. Here it is." We go in and update that for them, because my thinking is this, chances are pretty good that if they're hiring us now, they're probably not confident with websites, building their own, and turning the keys over to them, I think, is more likely to feel intimidating still. And I think that they're less likely to go in on their own and update things. And I'm thinking that long-term, they're not going to be as invested in keeping their website fresh and current as if they know that they're paying for someone to maintain it monthly, and all they have to do is send us their updates. We're going to have happier clients for the long-term, and they are going to be more in touch with their website. They're going to be more in touch with what works and what doesn't. Mm. Everyone's going to be more invested, and they're going to have a high-quality product for longer that grows with them.
Yeah. And the other issue you'll have if you hand over the keys is that people can go in, they'll break things, and then they'll come to you wanting support, and then you've got a whole nother nightmare ahead of you.
Right.
So
right.
I think that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That's a good decision. I was also thinking too, you could, as part of the service, give them a fortnightly or monthly email, which could remind them, "Hey, it's Easter coming up. Make sure you get the photos of your Easter recitals," or whatever you do.
Oh, right.
Maybe you could share a little, here's a great website that I've seen that has this particular style of content. Why don't you think about that for your own site and send that through to me? Or I don't know, things like that. You could be a service for helping them understand what to create for you. And that could be automated too. You could have each month a new email goes out to them as they sign up, and they just get in. It becomes a little onboarding process for them to go through.
Yeah. Great. I love it. Mm. And I was thinking, to defray a little bit of the $40 a month thing, I was thinking that's where we could do discounts where, for example, like for Inner Circle members, you know, your first 2 months are free or something right. like that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And that does give you that flexibility to increase right. those initial signups for people. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Do you have any recommendations for that, for Inner Circle or other type of discounts? You know what works better than I do.
Yeah, or I think for you, I like the idea of a couple of months free. I mean, we have for my music staff, people in the Inner Circle, they get 3 months free to trial and then they just okay. go on to the usual payment plan, and that has been a great promotion for them. I think 2 or 3 months, depending on, you know, you've got to do your sums with any of these kinds of discounts. You know, right. the only other option you have is to reduce the monthly fee permanently, like I do for right. my members when they sign in. So say it's going to be $34 a month instead of $40 if you sign up now. Maybe for your beta people, you could do a really good deal on that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's even yeah. $30 a month, but you know that it will just be the first 20 or 30 people that grab that, and right. the rest are the yeah. full price. So there's a few options for you there. Yeah, okay. It's very exciting, Jana. Awesome. Really exciting.
Wonderful. All right. So my main question for you, beyond getting your feedback there, is as I am thinking about a launch marketing plan, right. you've launched countless things from, you know, the Inner Circle to webinars and, you know, all kinds of things.
Yep.
Do you have any advice as I'm trying to create a good launch plan leading up to our launch on the 8th of January?
8th of Jan. Well, that doesn't give you all that much lead time given the holidays.
No, it does not.
Okay.
Hard and fast. We may end up not launching on January 8th, but we knew that we needed an early launch date to get ourselves in gear. And also because it's the start of a new year, teachers are thinking about new priorities and, you know, how to improve things. And they're not, maybe not quite yet back in the swing of things, and they have a little bit more time to think about things like this. Mm-hmm. So that was my thinking.
Now, a quick word from our sponsor, My Music Staff. Most of you have already heard about My Music Staff and how their software helps thousands of music teachers manage their businesses more efficiently. They handle all of your student management issues, scheduling, billing, and so much more. It's what I personally use in my own studio, and it's no surprise why it's the leading studio management software. What I think really makes My Music Staff stand out is its community-driven development and personal approach to customer support. It was such a pleasant surprise jumping into My Music Staff for the first time and realizing how in tune it was with my business and the ins and outs of a music studio. Since they partner with the music community to develop their software, they've been able to anticipate what teachers need and are constantly improving their software to exceed expectations. My Music Staff is super easy to get up and running. The transition away from paper and spreadsheets is painless. If you do need help, the quality of support is second to none, and you'll always get a fully personalized response. I have yet to see the level of attention and care I receive from My Music Staff provided by any other software platforms I use, and I use a lot of software in my business. So what have you got to lose? Just go to mymusicstaff.com and sign up for their free 30-day trial today. So look, I've got a little bit of experience with launches, but I'm by no means a pro. But I'll give you my thinking on it. I think one of the best things that you can do is some teasers. Somehow, it's like okay. you know, the new episode of Breaking Bad's coming out, and you see bits and pieces of it beforehand. I would suggest your options for this are videos. So you could do, a series of three or four videos about something to do with websites. This could be about you saying, you know, do you struggle with your website development? Or would you love to just get this off your hands? Are you a music teacher? You know, that could be something. Then giving them some structured ideas. So giving them ideas of what to put in your website, how you could go about doing it yourself, even though that's not what the ultimate yeah. thing will be. And then on your final one, you could be saying, well, hey, look, this is my service. Launch is coming up. We're opening on the 8th of Jan, you've only got 5 days in which we're going to be doing X, Y, and Z. Maybe you could throw in a couple of other bonuses just for your launch period. So like your content guide, a really good quality, amazing resource that you just give away as part of the, for those people. and then perhaps a discount too. I think that's probably a great way to go. And also just to tease, you could tease it more simply as well, rather than formal videos. You could just have social posts or emails. Do you have an email list yet of any potential customers? No, okay. So the best thing to do would be to somehow build a list for yourself. There's a couple of ways to do that. One is to blog, but you don't have time to do that. Right. And just get the SEO happening and give people downloads that they can give you their emails for. I think that's a good long-term strategy for you still, and we'd call that content marketing. So to release posts in a blog format. I mean, it doesn't really, you know, we call it a blog, but it's just really information that you give away, and somewhere in there have a download. So maybe you could, you know, split your content guide up into its three or four sections and have a post about each of those sections and get emails for people to be able to get that download. Then you're starting to build that email list. The other way to quickly build a list, the only other way really, is via paying for it. So doing advertising and probably Facebook ads, I would guess, is probably the best way to go. You've got a third alternative, and that's to leverage other people's email lists by affiliate marketing. Are you familiar with that, the concept?
No, I'm not.
So when I first launched my first course, which was the PianoFlix Teaching Pop, at the end of 2014, I had a number of bloggers who were signed up to be affiliates of mine. So for every, let's say the course was $100, I can't remember what it was actually, $100, they would all get $10 or $20 for everybody that bought through their link. And there's free software you can get to track all of that on your website. Are you building your Rocket, what's your business called? I love the name, Rocket.
Studio Rocket Web Design.
Studio Rocket Web Design, really love it. So is that website going to be on WordPress or on Square as well?
Squarespace.
Okay, so does Squarespace allow you to have things like email opt-ins and affiliate plugins? Do you know?
I think it allows for email capture. I don't know about affiliate plugins.
Okay.
I'll have to check on that.
Have a check. If you can easily set that up, then you've got a winning sort of platform, and then you can just put out feelers to the fantastic people like Jennifer Fox and Lila Viss and anyone who has big blogs who have a big audience, and say, look, this is my service. I think everyone will get on board with it because it makes sense. And that's what I found with my Teaching Pop course. People were happy to share it because it's a need. People need what you're offering.
Right.
And so that could be another way you could get the word out. But again, you're running it fine time-wise. You're also, right. Yeah. So the only other thing I'd say about the time is whether – the 8th of January could be more like a soft launch. So,
yeah.
So it's, you know, it's launched to a small community of people who test it out, and they're kind of your beta team.
Right.
And then 8th of February or something, it's, you know, goes full to the whole world or something. I'm not sure. I'm just a little bit worried about the tight. I get why you're doing it, but I'm a little bit worried about your time frame. That's all.
Okay.
Particularly, people are going to be potentially switching off their computers and disconnecting after Christmas till New Year, potentially. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I like that soft launch idea. And for what it's worth, we're not counting on very many clients.
Right.
If we get an average of 2 clients a month for the first year, I'll be thrilled.
Great. Okay. All right. Well, that's...
We're not looking for 10 clients a month. We couldn't handle that right now. We need to grow this slowly because we're learning.
Right.
So, you know, we're patient. We have all the time in the world. We just want to get ourselves moving quickly so
right.
that we have something to start talking about.
Yeah. I guess now that you mentioned that, my you know, thinking about my course was very different because the course had been created. It didn't matter how many
right.
people signed up. I understand that,
right.
yes, you're going to have people expecting websites. So you can't really deal with 100 in one hit.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. No, that makes good sense. So in that case, maybe you could do the 8th of January. I do like the idea of something smaller, softer, beta launch, involve the inner circle, any other communities you're part of, maybe a Facebook group, and then... a more official one. That will also give you time. It will give you that first month to actually work out how long it will take you to create all of these.
Right.
The other question I've got for you is, have you got a framework of some sort for how you're going to manage all the communication between your clients and you and your husband who's going to be doing the development? Because I can see emails flying back and forth all the time.
Most of the way we're going to be communicating is through Google Docs. I'm building several Google Docs, like a get to know my studio doc that they'll fill out so that I can understand their aesthetic, their goals, their top priorities for their website, things like that. Their content guide. So Google Docs are going to allow me to share with the client and with my husband, so all three of us can access those at any time easily.
That's a good idea.
I'm planning to do the direct communication with clients over email.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then like a revision, you know, when it's time for revisions, they're going to submit that in a Google Doc that I will have, you know, I'll send them a form, a revisions form that they fill out. With my studio, I've become a lot more structured with communication, and I use email templates whenever possible. I've created my own email templates. I've learned to not spend lots of time going back and forth with parents, and so I'm trusting that that will serve me well. I think having good policies in place and then being really friendly but also professional will help. Any recommendations? What holes are you hearing?
I've just written down the word policies. I think you're going to need a contract. It sounds really scary and formal, but
contract.
You have? Great. And make sure you include things like, if your website crashes, we will respond to it in X amount of time. When you want an update, this is how long to expect us before we will be able to integrate that update. Or we only update all our websites on the 20th of each month. Or something. Just make it really clear from the beginning so that people know what to expect. And no doubt you will forget some things and you'll have to change that over time. I'm just worried about the amount of back and forth you'll get. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I sign up for your service. You're going to send me a form, which I think is a great idea. One, because it's free for you. Two, because it means that people are just answering questions in boxes. And I think that's really good. So you can then copy those out of the box and add that to the content of the website. Spot on. I think that's a great idea. And then you're going to email me to say, okay, here's your login to see the draft of the website. Give me some feedback. So you probably want to let them know how many times they can give you feedback and revisions. And, you know, what to do if malware strikes, you know, if they get hacked. I think Square is pretty locked down, but just make it clear what people can expect. I think that's my recommendation.
Great. Taking notes.
Yeah, and the idea of Google Docs, so you're all sharing one doc and not emailing things back and forth, that's a great idea too. And look, you know, all going well too down the track, when you have, let's say you step back and you hire someone else to do what you'll be doing, you could potentially make use of help desk software could actually help you manage some of the communication that will go back and forth. It'll just allow people, it'll get everything out of your inbox for one, and it'll allow multiple people to see the same emails and for you to communicate between each other without the client seeing and things. So that could be really useful. I use Freshdesk for that purpose. And in actual fact, it has a free level, which is what I'm on at the moment. So that could be good as you grow. You probably don't need it yet, but I have a feeling you might find your inbox just gets a little bit overwhelming, even with Google sharing.
Right. I have no doubt. There's going to be a really steep learning curve here for all kinds of things.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's the fun of it. I was listening to a podcast. There's a great podcast, maybe not relevant to people at the start of their business. It's all about scaling businesses. It's called Masters of Scale, and it's really inspiring. So he's interviewed Mark Zuckerberg and the Google guys and all this about how you actually get a big business to be a really big business. But there's notes in there for all of us at whatever stage we're at. He's recently had some episodes on infinite learning, he calls it, which is exactly what you are. You're an infinite learner. You are only really happy, I think, from what I know of you, when you're trying new things, you're pushing yourself, you're learning. For people like that, doing what you're doing is great. And, you know, there will be some stumbles. I've had plenty of fails and stumbles, but you pick it up, you learn from it, and you keep on going. And that's actually, it's a really fun way to do things.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. I can tell.
Yeah, I am loving all of it so far. It's just so different from everything else I've been doing. It's really great.
It's great. Well, look, and I'm love to be able to be a small part of helping you get established. It's really, really good. And so, yeah, have you got any other questions while we're here?
Actually, just the last one is just to follow up with what you were just saying. What are the biggest pitfalls that you found in launching a new business, and how would you avoid those in the future?
Whoa.
So small parting question.
Yeah. We've talked about pricing. That is always a challenge and will continue to evolve. So don't get frustrated when that doesn't work straight away.
Okay.
Try not to get down when things don't seem to be working your way. I have periods, even now, as my business is becoming more stable, I still have periods where I question what I'm doing and, you know, wonder why this is happening and all those kind of things. So that is a perfectly normal place to be. I've got another friend actually here in Melbourne who's just quit his full-time job to run his own business. Mm. And we were having breakfast the other day and he was saying, yeah, he was getting really frustrated with how he was feeling and he was really down. I said, look, we all have it. You will go up and down and up and down the whole time. It's a real ride running your own business, as you know, from your own studio even.
Yes, I do.
Other pitfalls, I would watch your time really carefully. I'd probably track it, in fact, because what you're doing is, while you are scaling what you're doing, I have a feeling that you will learn over time how long it takes to create these websites. No doubt that amount of time will come down. So try and track. I think you did the piano pivot. We were talking about that effective hourly rate, or I shared some of those some of the videos with you, but you might not have seen, actually no, you, I think you saw the business one, didn't you? That
yes, I did.
That calculation of your effective hourly, we were talking about teaching rate, but for you, just effective hourly rate for your business is a really good metric to track. So I would say that is a good thing to do, and you might start off with this at $3 an hour for all the work that you're doing, but you obviously then have somewhere to grow. That's one thing I track a lot. And the other thing I would say is that analytics too play a huge part in how I run things. So just keeping track of data that is important to you, and for you that would be obviously the number of people who you're helping, the signups, how many requests you're getting for fixing things or broken things, or I am purposefully thinking more negatively. Hopefully you're going to be totally fine, right? With
no,
stability.
Please think negatively.
yeah. But just you know, tracking those things in case there are some trends over time that you can work on.
Yeah.
Obviously, your business metrics you'll track, but for your own website, for the actual business, you know, keeping track of hopefully email signups if you end up going down that route. Page views. What's being popular? Can you do more of what's popular if you start releasing articles? Just getting into the back end through Google Analytics, which is all free, of course, and incredibly over the top in its amount of information, but it's very helpful.
Yeah.
Just keeping track of that and then doing more of what's working. And
right.
Yeah, I think you'll only learn by launching this. That's a quote from a friend of mine here in Melbourne who's another big business owner, Dan Norris. I don't know if you've heard of him. He says you only learn when you launch, so you've just got to launch it.
Good advice. Great. Fantastic. I am so grateful for all of your help. Thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure.
Invaluable.
No, that's great. Well, look, thank you. Thank you for the support that you've given the membership too, and the comments you've left, and you've helped other teachers in there. And so we continue to pay that back. As I said, you're teaching me about ways that I can continue helping teachers past just the studio. So,
great.
It's been great. Works both ways, yeah. Jana. It's great.
Yes, absolutely. It's a circle.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that's it. What did you think? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Just head to timtopham.com/episode132 and leave a comment under the post there. Or you can certainly find me on social media. I would love to find out where you're at with your teaching. Did this resonate with you? Has it sparked some of your own ideas? Has it been a relief to hear someone say that it's okay to make money and want to make money? Has it been a relief to hear someone say that you don't have to teach 50 hours a week and 100 students? It's okay if you don't want to do that? If it is, I'd love to hear from you. So please leave me a comment, find me on social, and let's start chatting some more. Interestingly, we were talking about pricing at the start of the discussion, and Jana mentioned that she wasn't looking at offering one-off payments and she wanted to do a monthly membership. Interestingly enough, things have changed significantly for Jana, and I'm only too pleased that she was able to record a quick update for me, which I'm going to play for you now, just to let you know how things have panned out and just how much businesses continue to develop and evolve over time and things keep on changing. Here's Jana.
Tim, you were absolutely right about our launch date being ambitious. There are so many moving parts in getting ready to launch a new business, and it is easy to underestimate the amount of work that goes into that. Our soft launch was in early March, and honestly, even that was a challenge. We learned so much in the months leading up to the launch. A lot of what we were planning when you and I talked ended up changing during our building process. For example, Studio Rocket websites offer a lot more features than we'd originally planned. We wanted to be able to customize websites according to what teachers want and need, so we integrate things like calendars, online tuition payments, galleries, and blogs, features that make a teacher's life much easier. It's been more work up front, but as a result, we offer high-quality websites that we're really proud of. Our pricing structure also changed completely. The subscription model would not have been sustainable after a few years, so instead, teachers pay a single price for the website and receive a full website lesson at the end, so they are confident in maintaining their own site. One of the most delightful aspects of our new business is the Studio Rocket web design blog. It's been an effective way to share what we know about strong websites with the teaching community, and the feedback we've received has been very positive. The process of launching Studio Rocket web design has been an exciting and deeply rewarding one, and we are excited to see what the coming months bring as we continue to grow.
Thanks so much, Jana, for sending in that update. If you'd like to find out more about her project, head to studiorocketwebdesign.com. Now, I imagine for some of you listening, this might have got your own entrepreneurial juices flowing. If so, fantastic. I'd strongly recommend checking out the Studio Growth Roadmap, which is a key benefit of being part of my Inner Circle membership. So just before we wrap up, let me tell you about the Studio Growth Roadmap. It's a 6-stage plan of action taking you from starting a new studio to pivoting, like Jana, to a completely new business concept, if that's what you'd like to do. The 6 stages are planning, building, teaching, adapting, growing, and pivoting. So in the planning and the building stages, you're setting the foundations for creating a studio. In the teaching section, we're all about pedagogy and what's actually going on in lessons. Adapting is all about the resources for teachers who perhaps have been more traditionally and classically trained and have taught that way and now are looking to adapt their teaching into some other areas. Growing is all about scaling your studio, finding more students, potentially finding more locations, hiring staff and all of those kinds of things. And then the pivoting section is what we've been talking about today with Jana. It'll help you find inspiration, do a big brainstorm to work out what other things you might like to do. It'll teach you how to build an audience and grow an email list, to do market research, to break down the launch of a new product into small segments and set goals, to create and validate the idea that you've got, right through to building your team and more. To get immediate access to the Studio Growth Roadmap and to start building your next business today, or of course, continue to grow your own studio, then head to timtopham.com/community. Remember that you get $100 off an annual membership automatically just for being a podcast listener. How good's that? Stay tuned for your discount code at the very end of this episode. And if you haven't already done so, as the season wraps up, I would really value a review. If you've been listening and getting value from these podcasts and haven't had a chance to leave a Facebook or iTunes review, I would really appreciate it. It means a lot. I read them all. It really does help me spread the word more about the podcast because it gets in more people to be able to see what's going on. So head to timtopham.com/review in order to find out more about how to do that if you haven't done it already. And literally, it'll take you, I don't know, 5 minutes maximum. So if you can do that for me, I'd really appreciate it. So that was the last episode, as I said, of season two. I really hope you've enjoyed the content this season. Certainly the feedback I've been receiving has been so positive, and it's one of the great joys for me of attending conferences that I can hear so many stories from people who've listened to an episode, they've gone away, tried something out, and had success with it. So I really value that feedback. Thank you very much. From Facebook marketing to piano guys, from Philip Keverin to Philip Johnson, we've covered a whole lot of ideas and strategies for your business and teaching this season. And so if you haven't checked out the earlier episodes, head back to episode number 125. That was the first of this season. If you'd like to keep in touch during the season break, then please stay tuned to my Facebook page. And you can, of course, follow Bronson, my cat. His antics on Instagram, always good for a laugh. Also, don't miss out on our free Facebook advertising webinar. I mentioned it earlier, and the release of our course all about Facebook ads. It's such a minefield. It's complex. It's difficult, as Danny mentioned in one of our earlier episodes this season. So I want to help you out as much as possible. And as we mentioned there, while it's great to have someone managing it for you, it's really important that you know what you're doing first. And you can definitely get started with our help. So keep your eye on my emails, your emails, I should say, and our social media. And just letting you know, season three will be kicking off on August 3rd. And we've got a few discussions planned. We're definitely going to be talking about lead sheets. Again, that's a hot topic and something that people continue to ask us about. And I'm very excited to let you know that the fantastic Forrest Kinney will be joining me in the inner circle to create a course all about lead sheet playing. And we'll be doing a live webinar on that one too. So stay tuned for that in August. We're going to be talking about new interactive teaching technology. I'm trying out some new things in my studio I want to share with you. Also on season three, we'll have another great composer spotlight. I'm going to be talking technique too and creating community and look, heaps more. It's all coming up for you in August. I'm Tim Topham and you've been listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. Thank you so much for listening and see you in season three.
We'll conclude this evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. We'd love to help take your teaching to the next level as a member of our supportive community. Use the coupon PIANOPODCAST for $100 off an annual membership of Tim's Inner Circle today. To find out more, head to timtopham.com/community.